You know who this is, Wendy? It's Sherilyn Sarkazian.
Yes, it is, and it's the worst song ever recorded in the history of music.
The worst song ever recorded in the history of music.
I need a whatever it's called, the vocoder or something, so I can talk to you like that. So I can sound like a Cher robot.
A Cherbot.
I like it.
The Cherbot 3000.
Worst song ever recorded ever.
Worst song ever recorded.
I wish her farewell tour would have really stayed farewell.
That's hurtful. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness, if you will. Call us, text us, stop by. We're up for that. All right. So she appears, when I say she, of course, I'm referring to Cher, the one and only Cher, appears last night on the Billboard Music Awards. And Cher is 71 years old.
She looks fantastic.
And yes, she does. And she was wearing an outfit that most 71-year-old women wouldn't wear in private, much less at an awards presentation.
But they're not Cher.
They're not Cher.
They have two names.
Right, right. Most people have two names. Cher just goes with the one name. But despite the number of names, here's the question I pose to you and to everybody listening. At the age of 71, would you even entertain the idea of wearing what she wore last night? Now, there's pictures of it all over the internet, and Kevin, if you wouldn't mind, post one on our Facebook page. That's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on Facebook, so you can see this. It's kind of transparent.
There is some areola showing.
Well, she wore a heart decal, I guess.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a heart over
she had a heart on?
Yeah. Yeah. So you couldn't, you could use your imagination, certainly, but what you would see there would be a little heart sticker that I think she got in a box of post-alphabets. And she wore that very strategically, you know, where you'd hope she would. So that was a heart. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. But even with that, I guess the question is, if you had that kind of, because she's in very good shape, she's in tremendous shape. Even if you had that kind of a build to you at the age of 71, would you still think about wearing that?
Yeah.
You would? Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Right. It's not like this is something new. It's not like all of a sudden I wear a lot of black. You know, all of a sudden I came to work looking like this. It would be like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
But Cher's been dressing like this forever.
But isn't there a time where even if you do something forever, you say, maybe I've now reached the age where I should not,
no,
in this case, dress like that. You go with it the rest of your life.
Listen, if you have a body that can support that.
Yes.
And she was very flat-chested. She's obviously had several boob jobs.
That's a possibility.
So whatever. You got it, flaunt it.
Yes.
Who cares if you're 71 or 81?
Let me throw this into the equation. A lot of 71-year-old ladies are at that stage a grandmother. So you say to yourself, kids and grandkids.
Chaz does not have a kid.
Chaz does not, but what about the blue kid?
Oh, Elijah Blue, right.
Doesn't he have a child or two?
Probably.
All right, so she either is a grandmother or is of the age of being a grandmother. So don't you say to yourself, if you had grandkids, let's say Elijah Blue does have one. I don't know for sure if he does or doesn't.
Grandma looks hot.
Wouldn't you take that into consideration a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah, if you saw somebody in the carpool lane like this, it would be weird. You know, maybe there's a parental chaperone or a grandparent. All the kids go to Great America at the end of the year.
Right.
If the grandma chaperone went to Great America looking like this,
that'd be
weird. But if your grandma was Cher and she showed up like this, I don't think anybody'd think anything of it.
Oh, all right.
Is Cher your grandma? Yeah.
I am so split down the middle because part of me goes, boy, if that was my grandmother, I would just, I would be
proud,
shell-shocked. I would just be... But then I say, but you know what? If at that age I'm looking as good as she looks at 71, I say I'm doing what I want to do. So I'm so divided by this.
Age is just something on a driver's license.
Right.
It really is.
Right.
I mean, if you didn't know it was Cher and you just saw some woman on a stage dressed like that, you'd go, wow, she's hot.
if the picture was cropped, I thought about that. If the picture was cropped where you couldn't see
who it was,
the head of the person, they just showed a body and you said, tell me who this is. You got a woman who's mostly naked, except for a strategically placed decal or two. She's dancing around. Who is this? I would not have guessed it to be Cher. I would have said Madeline Albright. I bet that's Madeline Albright. That's what I would have said.
Oh, my God.
So I guess I'm so torn because I'm proud of her for going, oh, wow, you're doing something right. You're 71. You look that good. You deserve whatever you want to do. Take it. But then I also go, oh, man, but she's got kids and maybe grandkids.
But she's Cher.
Yeah, she is Cher.
They know what they're in for.
Right.
Oh, grandma's wearing that again?
Right.
She wore it to Billy's Halloween party.
Can you get that off the rack? You can't go... You can't go into Chico's and get that.
How do you get it on a hanger?
Keeps falling off the hanger. There's not enough of it.
Can we play a little of Cher when I thought Cher... I loved the Sonny and Cher show.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Cher was ultimately talented. I really did. I don't like the whole vocoder thing. I just... Her whole disco diva thing kind of was... I thought she was better than that. Listen to this one. Remember this, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves?
Didn't they, on the variety show, didn't they have a segment where she started singing this every week and it led to some skit of some sort? Am I imagining that?
I think she may have performed it, but I didn't know that it turned into a regular feature.
There was some song that she sang every week. I can't remember if it was this or some other song, but it was like the beginning of some segment where she came out and sang the same song every week, but maybe it's not that one. I don't know. I'll tell you the biggest thing for her, for Cher, was we knew her as, you know, a pop singer and a variety star. And then all of a sudden she takes some movies, some very dramatic movies like Moonlighting and Silkwood. And
she was great.
Really good. Like way better than I think anyone expected her to be.
Way better than she sounds now. I just don't like this whole... I mean, but she's like cabaret Cher now, you know?
She's like somebody doing an impression of Cher.
Yeah, an impersonator.
She's a Cher impersonator, but she is Cher. So I guess that's the better question of would you be embarrassed if your grandmother dressed like that at the age of 71? Can a person be their own impersonator? That's the better question.
I like that quandary better.
Yeah, I guess to some extent she is kind of doing... A Cher, like a tribute show to herself, her own Cher self.
That's kind of conceited.
If she would, could she name the show Cher and Cher Alike?
Is today Monday?
Yeah, today's Monday. Got four more days. It's almost the weekend, Wendy. It's right around the corner. I don't even know that she is romantically involved with somebody. There was a time where if Cher wasn't romantically involved with somebody, you go, uh-oh. The universe is coming to an end.
Her and Greg Allman, she and Greg Allman was kind of a crazy little match.
Oh, I can top that. Cher and Tom Cruise. Remember?
That didn't happen.
That happened.
No.
They were together for a while. You choose not to believe it because you're afraid.
I am afraid.
Yeah, she was dating Jack Reacher.
I don't recall that at all.
You did, well, you blocked it out of your memory because it's catastrophic. But yeah, they were dating for quite a while. Not quite a while, you know, in Hollywood terms, a few weeks.
That
few
is
months.
A mismatch. That is weirder than Greg Allman because at least they had the music, very different music. But
right.
There was another death hoax over the weekend that I succumbed to.
Who didn't die over the weekend?
Willie Nelson. And I know he's ailing and he's up there in age and I saw somebody put it on their Facebook page and it's like, oh, so sad. And I have learned to check the sources and to Google search something after you see it on Facebook because...
Don't react. Just check it first and then react.
Right, because either it's a hoax, which it was, and please don't hoax Willie Nelson because he is not doing well and it might...
He might read it and go, oh, no, I've died. And then he'll die.
And then he'll go, I thought heaven would be better.
Right.
I still owe taxes. But either it's a hoax or something I fell for just last week. We were talking about something. And I'm like, did you know so-and-so died? And you said, yeah, like 5 years ago.
They put anniversaries on Facebook and on different social media Because every time, like a couple times a year, they mention that Larry Lujak had died. And you always read on the, you know, radio board, oh, no, what? This is so sad. And it was sad. It's still sad that he died, but it's not sad every time because he just died the one time. You know what scared me is I live by Old Orchard. And I shop there quite often. So this guy dies over the weekend at Old Orchard.
Well, they said they found a man dead in the parking garage at Old Orchard.
Like a stairwell or something there?
Yes, bleeding from the head.
Right.
And they didn't say if any weapons were found. They didn't say anything. And, you know, I have in-laws that live in Northbrook, and you like to shop there when you go.
I shop there all the time.
So then I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty weird. Should the public be scared?
Well, the news today, I heard Kim Gordon say this earlier on WGN Radio, by the way, was that this was not a random act.
But how do they know that? It turns out that this gentleman was shot.
Yeah.
A 20-something-year-old.
Yeah.
He was shot, but okay, then I know they can't release information because
right.
they're investigating it. I get it. But they're saying, if anybody sees anything, let us know. That, to me, makes me think it's not, they don't have their suspect.
Or, you know, like on TV shows where there's some bit of information that they're not sharing with the general public because it helps them with their case.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking it could be. I will say this. Over the weekend, because I did not shop at Old Orchard, but I passed by there both Saturday and Sunday, heavy police presence, like way more than I'm ever used to seeing anywhere near Old Orchard. There were cops everywhere.
Isn't that a little late?
By a little bit. Yeah, it's late by a little bit, but, you know, They're in the middle of their investigation.
I know.
They just want to keep things safe. They don't want to lose a weekend of shopping
right there. And I noticed, and I enjoyed it, but then I felt sad when I had my little girl's weekend. And not little girls, but I that just sounded weird.
No, not at all.
I had my girl's weekend. We were walking around downtown. We went to Eataly. We went shopping to Nordstrom Rack. And so walking all over, and there are a bunch of police officers just walking around, which we see in front mm-hmm. of the Showcase studio when we're down there.
Mm-hmm.
But this was almost on every corner. And it made me feel like, okay, we have to, you know, have a presence here. But then it made me sad that it's come to that.
Well, I think it's the city's way of saying to both Chicagoans and tourists, you know, we're covering this area.
Yeah, but this area doesn't need to be covered.
Yeah, but they can't afford anything to happen here because it's awful, but it's true. I think to the average tourist who's considering Chicago as a destination, like if something bad happens here, you know, in what's supposed to be a safety zone, it's awful that it's happening anywhere in and around Chicago. But if it happens here where it's considered to be a high traffic area.
I know.
And a safe area. So they want to keep things as squeaky clean as they can.
I know, but what about putting these officers to walk around those neighborhoods?
That would be a smart idea.
Wouldn't it help? A police presence?
Yeah. And I'm sure that's been boosted a little bit, probably not as much. But, yeah, on any given day, you walk up and down Michigan Avenue, you're going to see a dozen cops or more. They're just everywhere. It's not terrible.
I know, but it just kind of made me sad at the
right.
way the world is
sure.
now.
Sure, of course.
You know, when you get older and take a girl's weekend, it's not as much fun as it used to be.
With cops everywhere?
No, with everything. All we talked about
is
where we...
to loot? I know
no.
part of your girl's weekend is always looting a store. You didn't do that this time?
I'm telling you, it's all we talked about was where we were going to eat our next meal. It's like, really? This is
That's
what we've
become.
Come to?
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. We need to take a break. We've got news coming up next. I think Judy's in today, isn't she? Yeah, Judy will stop by. And
Hall
we'll
of Famer, Walk of Famer.
Walk of Famer Judy Pylak will be in just a little bit, and then more shows. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream on WGN. Judy, I have a question. Are you accepting questions?
I am, and right. I'm sure I have the answer.
All right. In the news, you were talking about Bill Cosby and the impending case against Bill Cosby, and you said that one-third of the potential jurors had formed an opinion and that two-thirds said it'd be difficult to serve on a jury. So does that two-thirds include the one-third that had already formed an opinion, or is that separate? Because
I believe it's separate.
Okay, so that's three-thirds, which is all of them. So how do you get a jury
They're
then?
Not going to be
yeah,
able to get a jury.
It's going to be so difficult to get. I mean, even the 35 of 100 people questioned who had some connection to sexual assault.
Yeah.
Now, you should be able to get past that, of course, and be fair and impartial, but they do ask.
You'd be influenced. How could you not be influenced? But you'd also be influenced by the fact that this is a public figure that you grew up with.
Right.
You know, you didn't
know
personally.
I mean, he was so beloved for so many years. It's...
So what do they do if everybody that they interview to be on this jury says, yeah, I've already thought about it. I've already made up my mind as to whether or not I think he's guilty. Or I can't
survive. You just keep going to
you have Martians. To find somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I think you could ask for a judge. You could just have a judge decide. But I don't think he wants to.
Wouldn't both parties have to agree to that? I think in court you can't. I don't think it's up to one party or the other.
Right,
I think they have to both decide if it's a jury trial or a judge trial.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be strange. I know.
I mean,
they'll
just keep plugging along. That's
until they
the
find 12 people.
Works. Yeah, who can, you know, put aside their biases maybe and differences and you know.
Yeah.
You think the OJ trial went long?
This
seems like it would go a long time.
And I wonder.
I don't have the information here. I'm trying to think how many counts he's charged with. I don't think it's not nearly as many as you'd think.
You know, it's 30 something women who came forth,
maybe.
but for this particular case, I think it's just one. Yeah, because there was
maybe
only
it was three, but maybe
because the statute of limitations had run out on everyone else, and she got right in under the wire.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So do we have?
And look how long it took to get to this point.
Right.
To get a, you know, they're just talking, questioning the jury now.
Right. So do they have a timeline by which they're hoping to adhere? Like, are they saying that the trial is going to start on July 1st or August 1st or something? Or is it just whenever we get the jury in place?
I think they do have a date they try to work toward. And, you know, you only have so many passes, so many strikes you can use as an attorney on either side.
Right.
To say, I don't, you know, I excuse you.
Right.
But now I'm wondering if they're just calling these people and getting these results from their applications, and then just they're not even being questioned.
A lawyer told me once a while ago that the common misconception is that a potential juror can't know much about the case, but he said that is incorrect. You can know as much as you want about the case. What they don't want you to have is a conception of whether or not you think the person is innocent or guilty.
It's so hard to not. You have some kind of emotional feeling regarding what's being presented to you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's you always are going to have some bias. It's
right.
Just, and I think, you know, the more information, the better, really. Information is knowledge. So, but yeah, it's the hard part is not forming an opinion. To just have an open mind. That's really, it's, you know, look at
how can
mankind,
you,
it's difficult to do that.
That's what I was just about to say, is if you know much about something, whether it's a court case or anything, you're going to form some sort of an opinion.
Yeah,
it's just natural.
Even as a reporter, I always say there's always two sides to every story.
Right.
Because there are always, never an exception, two sides. But even, you know, I feel like I've developed a, you know, a sense of that. I still, it takes me a couple days. And so then I try not to, you know, spout off on certain things because I have an initial reaction like everyone. It's just human nature.
Emotional reaction.
Yes, an emotional, and then I have to step back and say, wait a second. And it always comes a couple days later, oh, now this is making sense. There's always another side to the story.
That's why I honestly wanted to be a juror when I went to jury duty, because I am an emotional being.
Did you not get picked?
I did. We waited, and probably about 5 to 12, they said that all the court cases for the day had been canceled. So everybody got to go, and everybody's high-fiving each other. And I was the only one that went, dag nabbit.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wanted to be picked, because I really think you have to listen to the facts and the facts only. You got to leave your emotion out of it. And although I'm a very emotional person, I really wanted to do my best. I really took that upon myself to say, I can do it. I can listen to both sides and make notes and decide how to do it. But you know, I think of people, and I'm not trying to slam anyone who'd be a bad juror, Jimmy Mack, but if he ever gets, honest to God, he would just be thinking about, like, oh, what Grateful Dead song should I listen to on the way home? I wonder what I'm going to get for lunch during the break.
The
majority of the people are like that.
Yeah, well, because the fact is, court case, it's not like on TV.
I know.
It's a lot of information, and it's, I mean, I've covered hundreds of court cases as a reporter, and even for me, it's hard to listen to all the minutia and all the little, you know. And then,
but were you a juror?
No,
because
but
at that point,
But as a reporter, I'm trying to listen as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Not nearly as well as a juror. Yes, but and I've been a juror. It is difficult, and let me tell you, the one time I really feel like I changed everyone's mind. I felt bad at first, but then I'm like, it's exactly what you said. It was this ridiculous case about a car accident. I mean, no one was hurt, seriously hurt, but it was money involved and yada, yada, yada. And everyone just, the second we got in the room, was like, all right, let's just give him some money. I'm like, what?
See?
I feel like everyone just, their
wanted
job,
to get out of there.
Well, because it was what's happened. And, you know, even now, people just, you get something. If something happened to you, you get, and I'm like, no.
That's not how it works.
Yes, but it is. The juries are like, all right, you know, and I said, I stood my ground. And I like, and once
were you
again,
the only one that?
I may not have been. I think there was one other person because we, at the end, it was more fair. But I was like, absolutely not. We are not going to do, let's talk about this. And once you talk about more, and I think people, like you said, just weren't paying attention.
And they just would like to get it over with. It has to be unanimous.
It
so all of a sudden they're flipping you off behind your
they
back.
They wanted to leave, and I knew that was it. But I'm thinking, I've been here all day.
But Judy, would it have been like that if, you, like you said, this was a car accident? Nobody's really hurt. If this was a more serious case, would they still be of that mind to just let's get in and let's get
you
out as
know.
Quickly as we can?
Yeah, who knows? Oh, I do know that the next time I was called as a juror, of all things, John Cass and I were both.
Oh, really?
Isn't that weird in the same
that is
pool?
Weird.
Yeah. And he and I got out of it, and he didn't.
Oh.
And I will say I probably purposely got out of it.
Oh. Right.
But that case did involve a more serious injury, and again, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
I can't even, you know, this is going to be ridiculous. And I think I talked to John later, and he said that it was like a week.
He did get chosen.
Yes, he got chosen. Yeah, he was pretty mad. And I feel like he said the same thing. He goes, at the end, we just were like, just give him something. Give him some amount of money because he got hurt.
Right.
Going in his neighbor's yard and doing something. This, I forget what the case was exactly about, but it was a case that I... After going through all the steps, I'm like, oh, I don't really want to be in this case.
Yeah.
And that's old news because when I originally was chosen, I was working overnights in radio. And, you know, the judge was really mean to me. I finally got to the point where I got to sit in the juror's booth, you know, and then they call you up and they ask you questions. And it's like, you know, are you willing to get here fresh and on time every morning? And I said, well, I get off the air at 5 a.m. So, yeah, I can get in. He's like, 5 a.m.? How do you think you're going to be fresh after staying up all night? Why would you insult me in the courtroom? And I'm looking at him like ready to cry. Like, are you kidding me? I'm here because of the losses. I have to be. I mean, and so he's like,
and
get her out of here.
You're working, right?
I know.
It's not like you're out partying.
No. And he's like, get her out of here. Next juror. And I was like,
oh, that's terrible.
I know. That was like my first thing ever.
You know what?
Ever.
Judges can be really mean.
Now, well, Judge Reinhold.
Let me just say.
He's fantastic.
I have seen judges, and it's shocking to me. It's sometimes it's just like, whoa, you know, very uncalled for, I think.
That's why I like to obey the law, so I never find myself in that position.
I mean, you could say that about cops, too. Remember, I just said I got pulled over, but it's just how right. You act. You're right. And I think he may have misunderstood. That you didn't, did you say you were working till 5
a.m.?
Yeah. Oh.
Because
you said
well, then maybe he thought you were working.
No. I said I was in radio because originally someone told me if you're in the radio business or newspapers that you will
get an automatic pass.
Dismissal, and that's not true.
I don't think that's true.
I have been asked many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was pregnant.
You just mentioned John Cass. He's in the media,
yeah.
So, yeah.
And actually, that time, I was pregnant. That was the first thing. Oh, you're pregnant. And I wasn't that pregnant, you know, maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, you're pregnant. Do you want to get out? And I said, no, I'll serve.
Oh.
And then the next thing was the judge was, of all things, then they said, oh, you're a reporter. Do you want to get out? And I said, no, I'll serve. And then when I finally got in there, the judge was Judge Elrod.
Oh.
Who had been the Cook County Sheriff.
Yeah.
Richard
Elrod.
Yeah, they said, do you know anyone? And I said, well, I know you used to be the sheriff because I covered you. And they were like, oh, well, do you feel? I'm like, no, I'm good. And then they said what the case was. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know what to do.
Oh.
And wow. Again, they flip her off behind her back.
Right, sure.
No, I asked just one question. I said, is there going to be a certain cap to what we can give your client, like a certain amount of money? And he looked at me and said, I would like her excused, please.
And
John Cass looked at me like, oh.
So you knew that that would be the question that would get you out.
Of course.
Interesting.
So listeners, if you're
always
taking
ask
notes.
About a cap,
but, you know, I really had a very bad vibe about the case. So I didn't want to, you know what I mean? I knew I would be not be, well, of course.
An unbiased juror.
I would have been fair.
You would have done your best.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, no, this is going to piss me off.
But see, now getting back to Bill Cosby, I mean, just imagine if any one of the three of us was called to serve on this jury. How could you do it?
Well, you and I would be exempt because we've met him.
So that doesn't make any difference, does it?
Yeah,
I think you'd never make it out.
You know how many fans have met Bill Cosby? It's not like we hung with
you
him.
You interviewed him. I don't think that's the same as saying.
I think once they
standing
knew that,
somewhere and seeing him.
Because that's a common question: is do you know the person up for
trial?
And
I would say no. I interviewed him once, but I certainly don't know him.
You met him,
enough. That's pretty low on the bar, though, because everyone knows who he is.
Right.
And no one's going to say, no, I don't really know. I've never seen anything he's been in. Right. So right there, the bar has been lowered. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone's probably seen him in something.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you met him after a show and shook his hand. I don't, you'd be excused for that? I doubt it.
Well, because for anyone else, I think it's, in his case, maybe not.
Well, there's a difference, though, between physically meeting him, and just having seen him on TV.
Yeah, did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but not about, I didn't say, hey, have you raped any women?
But you interviewed him on the radio.
Yeah, and then we met him backstage, and again.
Yeah, no, you're out. You're done.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't let you in.
You are not even getting past the first base.
Yeah.
He was really weird too, remember? And I know I said this before and I apologize.
Sexually weird?
Well, it was my anniversary and my husband had to work late. So I brought Dylan, who was 13? How many years ago was this? He was 12
years ago.
Okay. So Dylan was 12 years old at the time. And when I introduced him, Bill and Terry were there and you got to meet him. And then I introduced Bill to my son and right away he's like, oh, where's Dylan's father? And I said, and he made me very nervous. And I'm like, well, Dylan's father, who's also my husband, by the way. it's our anniversary, but he had to work late. So I brought Dylan. And then he said something like, oh, well, Dylan, maybe you can play some video games and make yourself invisible so mom and dad could have a great anniversary, if you know what I'm saying. So he like totally switched his agenda. And then on the way home, Dylan's like, are you and dad going to do it tonight? I'm like, I'm not talking to you about this. Well, Bill Cosby said you should. It was just very peculiar.
Yeah, you know what? Tell that story and see if you get on the jury.
You'll not only be let out of that trial, but any future trial.
You might be charged with something.
That's right.
That is so creepy.
Isn't it, though? It's such a dichotomy of feelings there.
Yeah.
Where's the dad? Where's Dylan's daddy? Yeah. Oh, are you divorced? No.
Mm-hmm.
And then are you going to do... It's just very weird.
Did he even talk to you, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Since your wife was there with you?
You know...
How much for your wife? That's what he said to you.
Stop it.
All right. She's beautiful.
You know, I love like TV trivia and stuff like that. So I said to him, Mr. Cosby, I always said if I ever got to meet you, I'd bring it. There's an episode of a television show you did that I think is one of the best of all time. And he goes, which one was it? And I go, well... When you were Chet Kincaid on the old Cosby show, there was an episode with you and Henry Fonda and Elsa Lancaster where you were stuck in an elevator with them. And he goes, I never worked with Elsa Lancaster. And I go, no, you did. She played the cleaning woman at the high school. No, I never. But I knew he did. He just didn't remember it. So I let it go, and he looked confused.
You let it go after 20 minutes.
He looked confused by it. But did you wear
him down? All right, go. If you can't
I
remember.
I looked it up, and it was Elsa Lancaster, but it's Bill Cosby. I didn't want to call him out on it. And then there was some other episode thing that I mentioned, and he goes, no, that's not quite right. And he told me some other version of it.
Bill Leff is never wrong. So
I'm wrong.
He takes down Bill Cosby. They wouldn't put you on the jury for that.
Yeah.
Are you going to take down Bill Cosby during the trial? If he gets an episode wrong with Elsa Lancaster?
If he can't remember, I'll remember for him.
I have to remember for him.
Yeah, and his vision was terrible at the time because he autographed a couple things, one for Dylan and one for my son Michael that wasn't there. And then he autographed a condom for my husband.
Yours like,
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it was just like hubba hubba. Oh my God.
No.
Ew, this whole conversation's icky.
But he was really sweet and he's like, here, put it in front of me because he said my eyesight's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
And he really, you could tell. I mean, I don't know if it's
when
cataracts or glaucoma.
Two years ago. Just over 2 years ago.
Oh, so he is kind of...
This was right before everything broke. Like a year, I thought, before everything
broke.
Not
even a year. Like 8 months, 7 or 8 months after. You know what he did that was strange? And I've seen stand-up thousands of times. So the way it always goes down is somebody announces you, and then you walk out, and people go nuts because you're Bill Cosby or whoever. So there, the way they did it, it was at the Chicago Theater, is he just kind of walks out on stage, and the lights don't go up, and they don't announce him or anything. He just kind of walks out on stage, and he starts talking to the people that are near the stage, just regular room conversation. And then people start to realize, oh, I think the show has started, because I think that's Bill Cosby.
It was pretty
there.
Cool, though.
Like, no fanfare at all.
That
just
seems
as
so
casual
fun.
As
Hello,
can be.
Hello, friend.
Yeah.
Remember the sweatshirt?
Yeah.
That your wife tried to get Dylan to go grab. That's a lovely story, too. I think we told you this. There's a chair on stage and a table
right.
and a glass of water. And Bill's wife, Terry, told my son, Dylan, Mr. Cosby needs his jacket. I think he's kind of chilly. Could you go run out
evil.
On stage and grab it?
So?
That is hilarious.
That's why I love her, Judy.
Okay, and the thing about Bill Cosby, really, oh, God, he made me laugh so hard.
Oh, that's the worst part is he was so good at what he did.
You know, when he had those albums, remember they used to be...
Yeah.
The comedy albums?
Yeah.
He really was amazing in so many ways, and it really disturbs me that he's blaming racism on these charges.
Sure.
That, if anything, he was... not an unprivileged African American, you know what I mean?
Well, he made his life. I mean, he started out with sort of humble beginnings, but I mean,
but then he wasn't hurting at the end.
No, not at all, not at
it's
all.
It's unbelievable.
And the other element is you say to yourself,
"Well, let's not forget,
yes,
he has only been accused."
I know.
But the other element is you say to yourself, "If he fooled me as much as he fooled me, who else is out there that's who has the ability to fool me that way?" You know, because you go, well, this guy's as good can be. No, he wasn't.
All right. Well, you have just become very paranoid if you think everybody
who I love and trust.
He made his fortune and his name and his life on being Mr.
That trust.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I think Bill's saying. Yeah, I get that. And most people who are doing something
But that's what's
wrong,
disturbing is that
not.
We were so... I mean, what could have possibly
we so
have happened
in,
that would
man.
Make me... Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Well, and the fact is, I don't think there were any really rumors about him before.
No, wrong.
Well, were there?
Yeah, okay. Explain this.
When I did stand-up, anytime his name would come up, because invariably, if you're working with other comics, at some point, it's who do you admire, who's the best, and Bill Cosby's name would always come up. And then there were always people who had worked with him or knew someone who had worked with him that had stories... about, you know, his infidelity,
okay.
not to the point
of drugging
of what happened later. No, but they were always talking about
but
how
was that inside gossip that only someone like you would know? Because I didn't follow Bill Cosby, so but
the
I'm
comics
saying,
gossiped a little, right?
All the guys who do stand up that were close
because I didn't know anything of this.
Right. So I mean, it's been common knowledge in Hollywood for years that he's been like this.
I think you'd find a good percentage of people that kind of knew his reputation, but not to the point, like Wendy said, where he was drugging women and forcing them to do things.
Right, but then he was a philanderer, maybe.
Right.
But then the whole thing is brought up, and every time we talk about Bill Cosby, people bring up the whole Spanish Fly routine that he did on one of his records, was it? Or
yeah, but at that point, you just wrote it off as something that he was just riffing on because it was something to talk about.
And no way would you expect him to do something like that.
No.
And then Hannibal Buress was how the news kind of broke to me.
Yeah.
He did some show that somebody taped and put on YouTube. Is that kind of how this sort of started?
Yeah, where he talked about how Bill Cosby says one thing but does the other. And yeah, and then the rest is history.
And that's kind of like when the investigation he kind of broke that story to the mainstream, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then when we spoke to Hannibal...
And then it was like the floodgates were open.
Right. And when we spoke to Hannibal Buress, he didn't want to talk about that.
No. No, because he doesn't want to be... I mean, even though history will show him as being the guy who kind of, you know, let the story out, he wants to be known for other things, and I don't blame him for that.
Really? Have you watched the Eric Andre show? Because he sits there like a little puppet.
I don't even know who he is.
I have teenage boys and a producer who's Kevin. And, I mean... It's kind of like Borat, like Eric.
It's brilliant.
I don't know if it's brilliant.
I would never use Borat and brilliant in the same sentence.
Borat was also brilliant.
It's kind of like uncomfortable. This Eric Andre dude does weird things to people on the street. He does weird things in a studio. They have celebrity guests on and make them embarrassed till they walk out. And Hannibal Buress is kind of like his Ed McMahon. He sits next to him and is really not funny at all. And
his stand-up is so good.
And that's what you say.
He's such a good
then
stand-up
he should
comic.
Stick to that.
I think they keep trying to find things for him that he'll fit into. You know?
Yeah, but you said he didn't want to be known as the guy who took Bill Cosby down, and I get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't nice about Bill Cosby when he spoke about
it. Right.
And if he's trying to make a name other than that, then he has to work harder.
Right. Well,
watch the Eric Andre Show. Yeah. I mean, I can't stop looking at it. It's like an accident. It's really bizarre, and I'm uncomfortable. Speaking of which, Twin Peaks was very much like that, too.
Oh, but you knew that was going to happen, didn't you?
Yeah, and it was just bizarre and twisted and disturbing, and yet I think I loved it.
Oh, all right. Success. The old ones, by the way, because we were talking about this with Kurt Wagner on Friday, I know the old ones are being shown in a couple places.
On Netflix,
all of them. They've got them, yeah.
And now I think I got to go. How many seasons was that on?
Two.
Not that many.
Just two.
Yeah.
All right, because I think I have to go back and rewatch them.
I'm going to definitely go back and just because everyone's talking about it. I can't remember any of it. And I watched them all.
I felt like I was under some kind of spell when I finished watching them. So I don't know if David Lynch is doing stuff to make us zombies, but
I felt like I didn't understand a lot of it, but I didn't care enough.
Yeah.
So now I think if I go back, I'll be like, oh, that's what that
means. We need a refresher course.
Which is great, because I'm glad I don't remember a lot of it.
You know, we talked when Jim Toronto was in on Friday, we talked about the new version of the show. And Michael Antkin's name came up. So he was
Willie
on the play.
From The Rookies.
He was Willie on The Rookies. Mm. He was in Slapshot. He played Harry S. Truman, the sheriff at Twin Peaks. And he's not in the new version of it. So it turns out, like, he's not a total recluse, but he doesn't do anything in show business anymore. But he was in the George Clooney movie, The Descendants, a couple years ago. And I saw the movie and didn't put it together that it was him. There's a scene where George Clooney's family is around a table, and they're deciding who gets what in terms of property and money. And he's a cousin that's just sitting there, doesn't have any lines. He's just sitting at the table. So I guess, you know, why would you even notice that it was him? But I did remember the scene, and I rewatched it again over the weekend. A very talented actor, good-looking guy. I don't know why he decided to drop out of show business, but what was Jim's story about they replaced him with the actor that they originally wanted in the remake?
Yeah, Michael Antkin was not the original actor. They wanted to play Harry S. Truman in Twin Peaks, so the person they have now is that person, and I don't know if we saw...
Oh, they didn't show
Harry
him.
Truman. He was asked about, but I don't know if we saw who it was.
Oh, all right.
There's, I saw Ashley Judd in it.
Oh, is she in it? I didn't know that.
And who's the other person?
She wasn't in the original at all, was she? No.
No. There was someone else that I... It's really weird.
Yeah, that's all right. That's what you're wanting when you're seeing this, right?
I hope
it's weird.
I don't know if I'm more sane than when I watched it the first time or if it's weirder, but it is. It's just...
Yeah.
It's cray-cray, and I think I loved it, but I'm not
sure.
I'm not sure.
All right. That's success.
I'm still thinking about it. That's okay.
Judy, thanks for stopping
by.
That's Judy Pilak. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll close out the show in just a little bit. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, my God. Is it time already?
Wendy, I
thought we had 15 more minutes.
No. Time's up.
All right, we have to do a conference call here, and Bill has questions, Kevin. We can do it via video conferencing, or we can just call on our phone.
That's not a question.
Is that correct?
Well, I think there's a video component.
All right. I'll figure it out. All right, so that's it for today's show. Thanks for everybody for listening and for participating. We really appreciate it. There's going to be another one tomorrow, Wendy.
We have been asked back.
So if you're anywhere near a radio, a computer, shoehorn, listen in tomorrow because it's going to be good.
Can I just say in one final note, Cher is 71 and Michael Antkin, who is not in the new reboot of Twin Peaks, is also 71.
How about that?
I wonder if he has the same outfit.
I don't want to think about that.
I do.
All right, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will look forward to hearing you or seeing you or you hearing us. Or there will be some transaction where somebody says something and the other person hears it. We'll figure that out tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.